You all speak French, right?
Of course.
Okay, of course. All right. Most of my sermon is in French today, just so you know. No, I have one expression I want to share with you. Some of you might have heard this before. I'm going to butcher it right at the start. L'appel du vide. It literally means the call of the void. If you've ever heard this expression before, it refers to that sensation that we all have. Maybe it's just me. I don't know. There's an expression, so it must be more than one person. But it's that when you're at a high place, cliff, big tall building, whatever, and you look down and there's that feeling that you get of like, jump, don't jump! You know what I'm talking about? Have we all had that before? Yeah. L'appel du vide, the call of the void. I get really, really scared high up. I had this experience yesterday. I was at a tall building and look, you don't need to know where, don't be nosy, come on. But I looked down and I kind of had that like knees knocking, my body physically was assaulted by the sensation of looking downward. And truly, you know, it's not heights that I'm scared of, and it's really not the falling, it's the bottom that concerns me, right? It's the landing, because we know it's death below. So. It scares me. Anybody else have that sensation or that worry? I remember going to, in Las Vegas, there's the Stratosphere Hotel, mm-hmm. the just big old needlepoint thing. And when it first opened, it was enormous. Now it's kind of like just with the rest of them. But when they first opened it, I was a teenager. I went with my family and we went to the top of this thing, which was fine. It was in glass and it wasn't that scary. But on the top of this thing, they have a roller coaster, of course, because why not? And basically, I'm going to call it the Stratacoaster. I don't even know if that's what it's called. But basically, it's on the Stratacoaster. The whole thing is like you go to the top of this thing, and it's designed to kind of go around this thing. But at one point, the entire track shifts urgently toward the bottom. And everybody knows this. They've seen it happen over and over because they've seen the ride happen. But it's so terrifying because you have that moment of, what if this is the time that wasn't designed to do that, and I'm going down to the bottom of this thing? What if it's the time? And it's such a scary sensation that they actually have, they don't do refunds. You have to pay to go on this ride. It's $15 or something. It's probably more now. But you go to the top of this thing and you see what it looks like and you decide not to do it. They don't offer refunds. But what they do give you instead is a shirt that says, I chickened out on the Stratacoaster. Which, I mean, there must be tons of people with those shirts, right? Because that's, I mean, the human condition is so experienced on this idea that we know the direction you go if you fall off a building or if you take that step. We don't have to be physicists to know that our trajectory is downward, right? And the human condition is so built on that experience. We know that. That's what we've experienced before. That's what we know so fully that feeling terrifies us. And it causes our bodies to react in such a strange way, to quiver, to tremble, to give us those tremors in our body. Isn't that weird? That's a weird sensation that our body decides to do at that moment. But it's, we are terrified because we've never ever seen anybody step off a ledge and float away. We've never experienced anything like that. And I have to tell you that if I saw somebody do that, I might be just as terrified as watching somebody go down in that kind of experience, right? Because we've never known that. An experience so new and so different than what our condition has conditioned us to, that we are terrified. Our gospel today just smacks of accuracy. I mean, the whole book does, right? But this one in particular smacks of accuracy to me for a very simple reason, because it's kind of embarrassing. I mean, if we're really planning this thing, if we're really staging the production of the resurrection, would it look like this at all? I'm assuming it would be this wonderful moment where Jesus kind of comes out of the tomb and everyone sings and there's trumpets and all this kind of stuff. But what happens? The women come to the tomb, they hear the angels speak, and what's their reaction? In the other direction, they're terrified. They're absolutely terrified. They go to the tomb with one expectation. They go expecting death. And I want to say this right at the start before we get too far into it. These are not timid women. These are not timid women. They have left their house with burial spices early in the morning, much dollars worth, denarii worth of spices, and they leave alone in the morning, all by themselves in the dark, to go into a tomb where they're going to see somebody who's been dead for 3 days. Now that is terrifying to me. They're going to a tomb to go and see a body that has been dead for 3 days, and they're going alone. These are courageous women. They don't mess around. They know what they're doing, and they go to the tomb courageously with one expectation in mind. And when they get there, they notice that the tomb is open, a big old stone that wouldn't roll itself away, and they see where they laid him. They hastily did this on Friday. Isn't that so like God, by the way? I love this moment. I sing about this yesterday. He could have done this any day of the week, but the way he did it, where he knew that they would have to urgently and hastily prepare him and then come back. From the beginning of time, he had this plan because he knew that they'd be having to come back. Like, the timing is just so cool. He knew they'd be there in the morning, and that's when he rose. And so they go and they see this man dressed in dazzling white. And he says to them, "Why are you looking for Jesus here? He's risen, just like he said he would. This isn't new information. But go to Galilee and tell the disciples and tell Peter." I love that moment. Because Peter kind of messed up on Friday. This is a neat restoration moment. God calls him out and says, "Go, tell the disciples, Peter included, to go meet me there, and you will see that I'm risen. That Jesus is risen, just like he said he would." And their reaction was fear. So why were they afraid? That's kind of a strange reaction. If you see an angel, that's terrifying. And throughout the gospel, throughout the Old Testament, you see an angel and you kind of go, "Woe to me, I'm ruined." But they survive it. They're scared after the angel gives them a task, so at least they know that they're not ruined at that moment. They have a task to do. So they've survived it. So why are they scared in this moment? Can I suggest that the reason they're scared at this moment, when they were just before that absolutely courageous, is that the human condition is so ensconced, entrenched in death, that anything that breaks and defies their own expectation is absolutely terrifying. Isn't it interesting that death is what they are expecting, but life, real life that they find here, is an assault to their senses to such a degree that they start quivering. They are given tremors and they run away terrified. But if we're really honest, isn't that the entire human experience? Does anybody know anything other than birth, life, toil, death? That's the order of things. Ever since that moment when God breathed life into humanity, and then sin entered the world and death was born and humanity was anchored into death, that's been the experience. Born, live, work for someone else, and die. That's what it is. So when we experience anything on the other side of that, it's absolutely terrifying. Life on earth here is really a countdown to death. And if something happens that's different than that, it's absolutely terrifying. Because the kingdom of this world knows one thing: you live and then you die. And these women are so assaulted in their senses that they know nothing but to be scared. And isn't that like God? Isn't that like him who at the beginning breathed life into Adam? Does it again after this death of Jesus. He breathes life into Jesus who is risen. He has come alive. And everything that this kingdom knows, that death leads to death. And now death is met with life again, real life. It's just a complete different kingdom. And I would suggest to us that just in the same way that we understand that the kingdom of this world is so entrenched in this idea that we are on a countdown to death, that is what is expected. On the other side of that, the kingdom of heaven that Jesus inaugurates in this moment of resurrection is so entrenched in life that resurrection, real life, is absolutely normative. And so on the one hand, you have this kingdom of death. And Jesus says, this is the kingdom of life. Do you notice what a major opposition these two kingdoms are? And these women who ran away timidly were so fixated on earthliness at that moment in fear that they ran away because life came. Again, this smacks of accuracy, because if I were telling the story, I would have maybe Mark, as he's writing this down, not include that part about how I ran away scared. I would ask him maybe leave that part out. But this is such a real and pure and true reaction. It has to be true. And these women left in fear and trembling, and they were terrified. But eventually they told the other disciples, and they were terrified. And then eventually Peter and John, who were terrified, ran toward the grave and saw that it was empty. And what had happened in that moment, as they started to see that this testimony that the women were giving is true, is that something shifted in their thinking from that understanding that death is the thing of this world. All of a sudden, they were able to rejoice in the fact that there was another kingdom where life was promised. And life is so normative that resurrection is just part of the condition. And that has been our message ever since. That has been our message ever since, that Jesus, when he put to death all sin on the cross, he took 100% guilt and he offered to us in exchange 100% innocence in the eyes of God. That when he is raised from the dead, inaugurates a kingdom of life. And that's what we have. And so now, we have this situation where we are living for this kingdom, but we are in this world. This kingdom that expects death, we live here. But as aliens, as foreigners, as weirdos, as compared to what's going on in this world. How should we be living in the kingdom? Well, I would suggest that if this kingdom here is so fixated, so understanding that the experience is death below, what we are called to do is to live above. Live upward. Because that is true and pure life. That is the reality of heaven that Paul tells us to fix our hearts on in our reading today from Colossians. He says, your life is hidden with Christ on high. Since you are raised to life, since you are part of this kingdom here, look up and live up. Because this kingdom that promises death below is in opposition to the kingdom that we're in. And so what does that mean about our lives after Easter? Well, it means that it shouldn't look like anything over there. In fact, so many of us live in that perpetual timidity that comes from kind of the trappings of this world, from everything that we have here, from the grave clothes of this world, that we live in full opposition to this kingdom. If this kingdom provides life and it says, shed the grave clothes, shed the timidity, what does that mean? That we should be a people of courage, that we should be a people that can put away death, immorality, evil, slander, all that list that's in Colossians that I invite you to read later. That's what it means to be living in the kingdom of God. To live up. To live upward looking. Your life is hid with Christ on high, he says. And that means that we should look upward to where Christ is. So sisters and brothers, children, family of the resurrection, that means that our call today is to live up. Take off the grave clothes. Leave them in the tomb. Keep it empty. And don't look back. Look and live upward. That is what a life is in Jesus Christ. Risen life. Living upward. And so as you go through this week, as you leave this place with the nice smelling lilies and pretty candles and lots of Easter eggs, as you leave this place and life starts to weigh on you, this kingdom of this world starts to weigh so heavily on you that you again try to put on some of these old grave clothes. Live upward. That is our call. We have that hope and that faith in the resurrection, and so we are not part of this kingdom anymore. Be an alien. Be a foreigner. Be a weirdo to this world. And live up. That is our call. That is the Easter message, that we live on high and we live upward. So let's pray that our eyes might be fixed upon him, that our life would be hid with Christ on high. And just take a moment to thank him for this glorious resurrection. We do thank you, Lord. We thank you for all of it. We thank you for everything that we've experienced in this Holy Week, from the celebration and procession in, for that moment of communion, from when you washed our feet, from when you were arrested and beaten and persecuted for us, from when you were crucified and when you died and laid into that tomb, and for that glorious moment when you awoke, when you rose from the dead and conquered death, so that you would give us that hope and that new kingdom. We thank you for resurrection, for resurrecting us here today and giving us that hope that only Jesus can bring. Lord, for those who have never made that promise to God, never made that commitment, that citizenship oath to the kingdom of heaven, Lord, we invite them to take this time now to say yes to Jesus, to pledge allegiance to his kingship, to take off those grave clothes and say, yes, Jesus, I trust in you. And yes, Jesus, I am raised to life in you. Lord, we praise you. We do this right now. In thanksgiving. And then we pray, Lord, that you would restore and resurrect our lives. That in all of those areas that we want to put to death, to leave in the tomb, that they would stay in the tomb, Lord. And as we come out and we celebrate new life in you, we would do so looking upward to the kingdom and living upward to your glory. And we pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.